happy about that. Come on, can you say, I'm going to see Jesus? I'm going to see Jesus. The one that makes it all to see. Changing a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But those that are asleep, the Bible says that we're going to get up. Oh, now I don't know if anybody believe that. Amen. In the same manner that Christ got up, he's going to get up.
Yeah.
Amen. He said he's going to give us a brand new body. Anybody looking for that? I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a brand new body. Knee pain, I don't want no more foot pain, I don't want no more gout, I don't want no more cholesterol issues, I don't want no more heart problems, I don't want no MS, I don't want no cancer, I don't want any of that. Because one of these good old days when it's all said and done, when he cracks his heart and says, come on up a little higher, I'm going to go up with a new body. I'm excited about it, I'm excited about it, because he cares enough for me to give me something new. Listen, don't look at the ideology of God. I'm not going to allow you to be in paradise, be in heaven, with the same old stuff you had on earth.
Yes.
Imagine if we had that mindset. Listen, I can't let you come on my house like that. But I mean, when you come on my house, I'm going to make sure you have a new suit on. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't catch that. And when you come to visit me in my house and come to hang out with me, I'm going to make sure you got on brand new clothes. I'm going to make sure your hair done. That there's never nothing out of place. It's never frizzy. It's never out of place. That's what God has said I'm going to do for you. When you get ready to come live with me, I'm going to make sure you brand new. Oh my God. Y'all don't know when to shout. Touch your neighbor, slap your neighbor, kiss your neighbor. Say, you don't know what to shout about. That's what you shout about. All the hell you had to go through here on this earth and all the disappointments and pain, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I ain't trying to preach that. I got something else ready, y'all. Don't set me up. I mean, how y'all doing this morning?
All right. Hey,
man, did anybody here come to have church? To be quite honest with you, sometimes I don't know. Amen. When we come to church, because you're supposed to come uplifted, you should enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yes, Lord.
It's just supposed to be praise. The Bible declares to be thankful unto him and to bless his name. Amen. You ought to come in the house of God with a praise on you.
Yes.
Amen. I'm already, before I even hit the ground, I already know that I'm coming to second Mount Moriah. I'm not coming just to sit. I'm not just coming to spectate. I'm not just coming to just sit like a bump on the log, but I'm coming to participate. I'm coming to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. Amen. If you don't watch it, I might just cut a step and just run down the aisle. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I do know that when I get in the house of the Lord, I am ready to give God some glory. Is there anybody ready to give God some glory? Yes, I dare you to just take about 30 seconds, amen, and just give God the best praise. Come on, lift your mouth up. Lift your hands up with your mouth. Stop with me. Let's give God the best praise. We promise not to be long before you this morning. We're just going to let the Holy Ghost have its way. Amen. But we're going to be in the book of the 23rd division of Psalms this morning.
Amen.
You can stand if you like. It is our custom here that we reverence and honor and respect to the Word of God, that we stand on our feet when it is read. For the sake of time this morning, I don't plan to deal with the whole pericope, the whole 23rd Psalm, for many of us have committed it to memory. You already know that the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
Shall not want, right? You already know that he maketh you to lie down in green pastures. You know that. But I just want to highlight for just a few minutes, if you'll allow me, to elaborate on that fifth verse. And it reads, this is thou path to take before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's all I want to tell you this morning.
Amen.
Look his neighbor on your way down to his teeth and tell your name, say neighbor.
Amen.
My cup runneth over. Find somebody else that went cross-eyed. Amen.
Look at
him. Try to find that right eye, the one that don't move. Say, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Just want to give you a few words of encouragement this morning. Amen. Coming from the 23rd Psalms in that fifth verse. At the end of that particular verse, is where we highlighted that, is that our cup runneth over. I'd like to ponder just for a few minutes and elaborate, if y'all will let me, on the subject that my cup runneth over. And Jesus said that one of his objectives for entering this time-space continuum, which we call Earth, was that we might have life on a permanent basis, and that we might enjoy the possession of living more abundantly.
All right.
I don't know about anybody here, but I believe Jesus when he said that he came to give us life. And to give us that life more abundantly. Said Jesus in St. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that might have it more abundantly. Now David tells us in Psalms 23:5 that he is experiencing that overflow.
Yes.
The overflow is only experienced by those sheep who have declared that the Lord to be their only shepherd. Touch your neighbor and say, only shepherd. Not one of many shepherds, but one shepherd. The Bible declares and tells us that we cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other. You will hate one and love the other. But either way, you cannot serve two masters. This overflow that I want to talk about for a few minutes only applies to those that have decided to make the Lord their only shepherd. And are seeking to bring every aspect of their life under total lordship or leadership of Jesus Christ. You're not tossed to and fro. You're not moved very quickly by every wind and every doctrine, but you follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do I got any followers of Christ with
me
today? Amen. That you have, as the old song has said to us, we have decided to follow Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, no turning back. And this overflow comes as a direct result of following the Lord's liberating leadership. He leads me. He leads me in the ways that I should go. He maketh me. He restores my soul. And in the time of trouble, to rest upon his awesome presence.
Amen.
And protection. Bible declares that even though in that 23rd verse, even though that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yeah,
I feel no evil. That because you are
with me.
With me. I mean, I'm a believer because I know that the Lord, whatever I'm going through, that the Lord will bring me through it.
Yes,
do I got anybody that is a testimony? You got to witness it now that that God has brought you through some things. That's why you can't get frustrated and get down and get depressed, because you've got to realize in the track of everything that God is not going to leave you or forsake you in the midst of your trouble. Amen. You're going to go. Touch your name and say, I'm going through the valley. Amen. I never was intended, never meant for me to stay there, never meant for me to pick up residence there, never was meant for me to build a hut, a cabin, or anything else in the valley. My life is not in the valley. My job and my mission is to go through the valley. Anybody going through the valley? Amen. It might seem hard sometimes. It might seem difficult sometimes. It might be strenuous sometimes, but you have to keep somewhere in the recess of your mind, in the back of your mind, to bring it even forward in your mind, to know that you're not going to live and stay in the valley. Touch the name and say, I'm coming through the valley. I don't know about you. I can't testify for you, but I can testify for me that I'm coming through the valley. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on out there so everybody can know. Amen. I want you to hear. Pastor said it. Yes, I did. I'm not staying in the valley. I'm talking about the valley of pain, the valley of health issues, the valley of not having enough. I'm not staying in that valley. I'm coming through that. I know you saw me yesterday, and I only had two nickels to rub together, but I'm coming through. Even the valley of financial despair. Talk to me in here. I'm coming through. I'm not going to stay there. That was never my intention. My intention is not to stay there in my health. One day I might be feeling bad, but you know what? God's getting ready to bless me. I'm coming out of that thing too, because I'm going to start feeling better. And every day that I feel better, I'm going to give him praise. Matter of fact, even if I don't feel good, because I know that I'm coming through the valley, I'm going to go ahead and give him a pre-praise. Amen. Because while I'm coming through, while I'm hurt, even while I'm crying, even while I might be disgusted, I'm going to still give God a praise, because I realize I'm coming through the valley.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And it goes on. It tells us about his perfect provision. It says that he prepares a table before me. A table before me. That means, and y'all heard me teach this before, that means that God loved you so much that he stepped out of time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
To go and make something ready for you before you arrive. Before means a place in time. It can also mean a position. When we talk about it, most of the time we just look at it from a positional definition. But God, listen, if you look at this with it, God, before you arrive, he's already stepped ahead of time. And got your table ready.
Thank you, Lord.
Help me in here. But not only did he step ahead of time and get your table ready, he let your enemies watch him get your table ready before you even got to the table.
Yes, sir.
I don't like to preach a lot of stuff about haters. Amen. You know, new here these days and times, we hear a lot of messages about your haters and amen. But I believe that the haters will take care of themselves.
Amen.
I believe that God already took care of that for me, because he says right here in this scripture that he prepared the table for me in the presence of my enemies. So I don't care. It don't, oh, y'all gonna make me preach here. It don't matter where you like me. It don't matter where you're for me. It don't matter where you're on my team. It don't matter if I look good to you, if I look bad. It don't matter if I'm tall. It don't matter if I'm short, wide, skinny. It don't matter, because God has already prepared my table. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. There's already shrimp and lobster and stuff on my table. Y'all don't want to get happy with me. There's already an abundance of crab legs. God knows what you like. Amen. He ain't going to set up no table for you with a whole bunch of stuff that you don't like. Y'all ain't talking to me. I don't believe there are any beets on my table. I don't know if there are any Brussels sprouts or anything like that on my table. Amen. I believe there's stuff on my table that I like. I believe there's some red velvet cake on my table. Gosh, it's a blessing business. Amen. And when you sit down, God said, listen, I'm going to set this thing up so that other people that don't like it, amen, can see that I'm getting ready to bless you. See what I'm getting ready to do for you. You can get ugly and jealous all you want, but ain't much you can do, honey, that can stop God blessing me. I know sometimes some people want to stop the blessing. I know sometimes some people want to hold up the blessing. But I tell you, there ain't nothing that I tell you to just get ugly with that blessing. Child, ain't nothing you can do about God, because God gonna bless me how you want to bless me, when you want to bless me. You can sit back and frown all you want to. Honey, you better come over here and get a piece of this cake. You better come over here and let me show you how to get your stuff together. You better come over here and get one of these ribs that God done prepared for me. Why? You sit back hating on me, but I'm here. God blessing me to be a blessing for you. Folks so silly. I don't know what's wrong with people. Look at the tapping their and say, folks so silly. What's wrong with folks? You ought to be excited. That God is getting, that God is blessing me, and God is pouring out his abundance on me. Why do you say that, preacher? Because the more he bless me, the better I can bless you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Most folk, though, they don't look at it from that perspective. I want you to succeed.
Right.
I want you to do good.
Right.
I want you to have all the money that you can have, and it's right. I want, because I might need some of it. Talk to me somebody. Yeah, I ain't getting a lot of amen deep. ain't a long time. See, don't holler that part of the message. I ain't heard the preach, pastor. I ain't heard none of that right there, see. Because they believe if they holler too loud, then them the ones that got it, and I'm going to come ask for it. Somebody shout amen. If you didn't shout loud, that let me know that you got it. But look at it from a perspective that God wants to bless me so I can bless others. Am I all right still here? God's perfect provision. He prepares a table before me in the presence of me. Then it goes on to say that he anointed my head with oil. I'm anointed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is what it is. Amen. Don't, like I said, don't get mad. Don't get upset. But God decided, chose to anoint me.
All right.
Even for this time that we're in right now. For this place and time that we're, God has anointed me to preach the gospel.
All right.
That's why I'm preaching it to you right now.
Right.
Not based on a feeling, not based on an unction, but based on the simple fact that God has anointed me to do an assignment.
All right.
Can I tell you, sometimes, you know, people get excited about the anointing. They know, because a lot of folk get envious of your anointing.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you sure can preach, or you sure can pray, or you sure can do this kind of this particular, you sure can play this instrument well. Amen. There's an anointing that God has given me to be able to do that. Don't get upset about it. Amen.
Amen.
God has anointed me for purpose. But the problem is the issue is that you don't know what it took for me to get this anointing.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm going to preach to somebody. Let me preach to some folk this morning and can relate to what I'm saying. You don't know what it took for me to get here. See, you went up with me at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when I was ironing out the issues of this sermon. Amen. So they can bless you and I can navigate. We navigated. God was helping me navigate down the road, so it won't be super offensive to you when I say something. and you gonna get mad and not come back no more. Y'all ain't talking to me. It takes an anointing. Y'all ain't talking. It takes an anointing to be able to hear from God. Amen. It's to relate that and put that down on paper. Amen. And to wrestle with an idea or a subject. Amen. To bless people, to get them to come out from where they are. Amen. To the place that God would have them to be. It takes an anointing to do that. Amen. And you don't know what I had to go. You don't know about the many times and disappointments and people talking about me, ridiculing, and calling me all kinds of names. You don't know nothing about that. You don't know about the pain, the suffering I had to do. You don't know about the pains in my body that I had to deal with in order for me to, amen, to be a blessing in your life, amen, to be really understand what it means to be healed. I had to first be sick. Y'all ain't talking to me. Amen. It took something. Amen. You said, well, he can preach. Amen. You weren't with me all the time when people passed my name by. Amen. It said you couldn't be a part of, you couldn't be in the circle. You weren't with me then. Amen. You hear now and you hear it now. Amen. But this, because God has anointed me. Don't worry about it. Amen. If I had to wait on man to anoint me, I probably wouldn't be anointed. But God has anointed me. He has anointed me with a purpose. See, when you're anointed, you got to realize that God has anointed you with a purpose. You ain't just anointed just to be, to carry something around. You ain't just anointed just to walk around and look good and wear alligator shoes, amen, and to dress nice, amen, and have pretty eyes and hair. That ain't the purpose for anointing. The purpose for anointing is that you can impart into somebody else, that you can help them grow and come out from where they come and what they're dealing with. The anointing, the Bible says, the anointing, the understanding of the anointing is to make fat. To increase. The reason you have anointed people in your life is because God wants to increase something in you. That's another message. I didn't come here for that. But I come to this part of the text. I tell you, the possessing and the filling the Lord's anointing on your life will cause your cup to run over.
Yes, it will.
Anybody want their cup to run over?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Over means spillage. Over means excess. Because y'all can hear me fine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most people are satisfied with this. Some people are even satisfied with that.
All right.
I was drinking my water for a purpose this morning. Because I wanted. How many would my, look how cold that is. Frost on the bottom. That looks good. Doesn't that look good? Because you want one, I get you one. Amen. But most people are content with this. In your life, you're content with this. I'm cool.
That's just cool.
I come to church.
Overflow.
Yeah. I sing on the choir. I'm full.
Okay.
And most of you ruin your life and live your lives in this manner. But God wants to do more than just fill you.
Yeah.
He wants to. Well, if that's
good.
If you let him.
Yeah.
He wants to.
He good, yes.
All right, Pastor. All right.
What's that coming on the side?
Overflow.
So you mean to tell me the more that I allow God to pour into me, may I stay full?
Amen.
I'm going to stay full.
All right.
But if I continue to let God keep, we'll get the water. Don't get mad. It's, you know,
it's water, crap.
It ain't number water.
It's water. Amen.
It ain't Kool-Aid. It ain't real Kool-Aid.
Amen.
Get it dry.
Get it dry.
Yeah. Y'all don't mind, do
you?
Get it dry. Come on, brother.
Go ahead.
Get it dry, because this is what I
want. Yes, sir.
Somebody give me a couple of tissue papers right there. Bring me one. You bring me a tissue paper. Bring me one. You brought me a box. But bring me one. Hand the box off to somebody else. And you bring me a tissue. And then hand the box off to somebody else. This you. That's representing you. Put you right down there. I'm going to preach y'all. I just want to give y'all this demonstration. As long as I'm full, the people in my life, the people around my life, get nothing.
Right.
All right.
As long as I'm full.
Yeah. Mm. You're keeping it to yourself.
As soon as I allow God.
Oh, yeah.
Overflow. Look at that.
Yes, sir.
Those in your life. They're receiving that blessing too. Yeah.
Come on, let me show you something that happens. Come on. Come on with the get a tissue and come on. Yeah, get one of them. Come on. Yeah. Put your, just that one tissue. You done balled them up. Put that one tissue right down there. I'm going to show you something. Because I ain't did nothing yet. But I want you to tell me what's happening to your tissue. Why? From the other
tissue. That's it.
I want y'all to understand what just happened.
Yeah.
Now that first tissue got wet because of the overflow that was coming out of my life.
All right.
But the second tissue got wet.
Yeah.
From the overflow from the
overflow that came out of my life earlier and helped absorb some stuff. It just keeps going. And going, you're good now. You got, you like that nervous. You know? Come on, give God a hand. Then pull the mower. Then God come around and put some mower in there. How many want overflow in your life?
Amen.
See, the reason that a lot of us don't understand overflow is because we never really get to the point of overflowing.
All right.
We get content with this being full. Not understanding that the overflowing aspect is not necessarily always for you. You can live in the overflow. You can. But the overflow, the intention of the overflow is to bless other people around you. Amen. But let's talk about you for a second, because how many know that you can live in the overflow?
All right.
Amen. How many know some people that's wealthy, that's got money? Mm-hmm. You got some money. Mm-hmm. That actually put money in the bank and live off the interest. I've got so much planet that I'm not living off what's planted. I'm living off of the residual results of what I plant. I hope that makes sense to somebody. Overflow. My cup runs over. Overflow, it's that spillage. It's that overflow, stuff that runs over. Over things that is missing in most of our life, and then particularly in our giving and in our finances, we haven't grabbed that concept of overflow. That's why we don't sow on the level that we should be sowing on, because you don't realize the results of what overflow can do in your life.
All right.
How many in here want their children to be blessed?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Lydia.
Yeah.
The Bible declares that a good man leaves an inheritance
for
his children.
Amen.
In other words, the inheritance that he's leaving is not what he's full of, but it's the overflow of what he already put in the ground. Your children will benefit from the seeds that you planted and the seeds that you put in the ground. Your great grandchildren will benefit from. Just David said, overflow. I'm getting ready to go. I just wanted to really teach a few minutes. I wanted to kind of start this little series. So we've been talking about overflow. How many of y'all have been to a restaurant where it's a fine dining restaurant? I ain't got nothing against Golden Corral. I ain't got nothing against some of the other restaurants. But I'm talking about something like a Olivia's. Cabrets. Somebody name somebody something else. Fine dining.
Yes.
You got to put your pinky up when you do it. Do everybody do this right here? Say fine dining.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't just talking about McDonald's and Hardee's and stuff like that. It's Hull House. We're talking fine dining.
Yeah.
Fine dining, then when you get to the restaurant and you sit at the table has already been prepared. The silverware is in the right place. The plate is in the right place. The glasses and the wine glasses. Y'all can talk to him and say, well, there you go. The wine glasses and the Coca-Cola glass or the whatever. All of the glasses are in the right place. And sometimes when you get to restaurants like this, you go and you go and there's a coffee cup. But the coffee cup is turned
upside down.
The coffee cup is turned upside down mm-hmm. on a saucer. Mm-hmm. You know what? Y'all write this down. This is my point. I'm gonna give you a couple points. I'll give you a rest later. The problem with most of us is that we have never turned the coffee cup.
Okay.
See, because turning the coffee cup over signifies to the waitress or waiter that you are wanting or ready to receive coffee.
Yep.
Well, I almost rang it right there. The problem with most of us is that you, in your life, you never turn your cup over. You want to be full, but you never turn your cup over to give God the indication that you really want to be blessed. How is it, Reverend, that I turn my cup over? Amen. Shouldn't God already know I want to be blessed? Well, sometimes you can say that you want to be blessed with your mind, but you hadn't turned your cup over. What do you mean, Reverend? You hadn't changed some stuff in your life. There's some stuff that's stopping you and hindering you from getting what you need from God. Your cup is still on the wrong side. Amen. You still tipping and hiding and sliding and doing all kinds of stuff in your life. That's an indication, and that's telling God that my cup ain't turned over. I don't know about you, but I want God to fill me up. Anybody want to be filled up? So what I got to do is turn my cup over. Turn your cup over how? I've got to get some stuff out of my life. I've got to change some stuff in my life. I've got to prepare myself. I've got to prepare my mind, Pete, to receive the blessings. You know what? Most of our minds are not even prepared to receive what God wants. The Bible says, ear has not heard, no eye has seen what God wants to do for you. Touch your neighbor next to your neighbor. Turn your cup over. God can know that you're ready for a blessing. Don't go through life with your cup turned over. And then you want to complain that the waiter didn't do their job. Come on. They never did bring me no coffee. Did you turn your cup over?
Amen.
God, I don't know why you blessing Sister Big Toe and you ain't blessing me like that. Have you turned your cup over? Have you been praying like Sister Big Toe prayed?
All right now.
Have you been living that life that she's been living?
All right.
Wait a minute. Before you start getting envious of somebody else's cup getting full and overflowing, you need to realize what it's going to take for you. Touch your name and say, this is what he mean what he said. Your cup over. Second Mama Ryan, are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? I might not be preaching hard and all that good stuff, but I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you a word of advice. Turn your cup over so you can receive. God wants to do a corporate blessing. Not only individually does God want to bless us, but he wants to bless us corporately. And as a church, what we need to do is turn our cup over so that we can start receiving what God really wants to do for us, and that we can be the overflow in somebody else's life, and we can bless other people. Amen. And we can go out. We do some stuff. We're going out. We're going to the senior thing. We're doing some stuff. Amen. But there is much more that God wants to use us for in this community. There's much more that God wants to send us out to do. And all we got to do is be ready to receive it. Change our thinking. Change our mindset. And just simply turn your cup over. Turn your cup over. Touch your neighbor and say, turn. Do what I tell you. Now turn.
Turn.
Your cup over.
Your cup over.
I don't know about you, but I want this abundant life. I want this abundant life that Jesus has promised me. I want that life. He said that he'll give me life and life more. But I want that. Is anybody else in the building that want that life?
Amen.
It's going to take some things. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some things. I'm only going to give you 2 points today. Number one was, what was number one?
Turn your cup over.
Turn your cup over. The second problem why most of us can't understand, and deal with overflow is, number two, have your cup mended from cracks.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Amen. Amen. Say, have your cup.
Have your cup.
Mended from cracks.
Mended from cracks. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish I had a crack cup in here today. Or something. Maybe I'll use that as my next illustration. But how many people have had to try or realize, it wasn't that long ago, I was riding down the road and I had went to the Jetstone. Anybody go eat at the Jetstone? Yeah. Just a little plug, they're going to have to pay me for advertising. But I often go eat at the Jet Stove. But one of these days, I get me a large, you know, the large cup. Go by there and give me some ice. And I'm trying to get some sweet tea lemonade. I mix both of them together. So I'm do that before I'm riding to the shop. And I'm on the way to shopping. And by the time I get to the shop, my whole chest is wet, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what happened. There was a hole.
In the cup.
In my cup. All my blessed tea was on my shirt or on my jacket. The reason I didn't feel it right away because I had on a jacket, on like a sweatshirt, and I didn't feel it right away. And I wasn't paying no attention to it. I got out, I got tea all over me, right? That's because there was a hole in my cup. Some of you are trying to figure out, why not me? Why am I not moving at the pace that other people are moving?
All right.
It would behoove you to simply check to see if your cup is cracked. Just because you come to church every Sunday don't mean that there's not a crack in your cup.
Amen.
Just because you know a few songs, you know a few hymns, don't mean
Amen.
That there's not a crack in your cup. Just because you can't visibly see the crack in your cup doesn't mean that there's not a crack in your cup. The way that you realize that there's a crack in your cup is that God can pour things in it, and you look at it and you don't see the results, or you think it should be more than it might behoove you. It might just simply mean that there's a crack in your cup. And the only way that you can get your crack mended on your cup is you're going to have to take that cup back to the potter again. He's the only one that I know that y'all ain't coming. I'm getting ready to go. Yes, let's get out of here. Let's celebrate. I'm just telling you, if you just realize it, if you're realizing that your cup is cracked and you're getting spillage, amen, it'll be a good idea to take your cup back to the potter and say, "Potter, here's my cup. I need you to do some mending. I need you to do some work on my cup. It's been dripping stuff. Give me a blessing. Look like you give me a blessing. And every time I look to get that blessing, I've lost something of it. But it's because my cup, Lord, I need a renewal. That's why we get ready to go tomorrow night and we get ready to have some revival, because some of us realize that our cups need some mending. So you're going to make that effort to come out on Monday night, to come out on Tuesday night, and to come out on Wednesday night. Why? That my cup needs mending. There's some stuff in my life that ain't quite right with the Lord. I know that I do some things right, but as Paul said, every time I get ready to do right, evil is always present. And God, you're the only one that can fix the things in my life. And I need you to patch up my cup. I want my cup to overflow. I want to be like David. I know you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You are not in my head, Lord, but I will have you all. I kept the whole world. I do the neighbor next year is the neighbor. I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's talking about. I don't know about you, but I want to hold for a knife. I don't want to just be ordinary. I don't just want to be plain. But I need all the more in my life. I like the neighbor, like I said. Church, Lord, I come to say about that. Two points I gave you today, I hope you're going to remember.
Yes, sir.
Turn your cup over. God, I need you. Fill my cup. Fill me up. Second thing is, get your cup prepared. Lord, you are the potter. I am clay. Can't nobody else fix it. Some of us try to fix ourselves. That's what some people, even before they come to Jesus, they're trying to gather in their mind how they need to fix themselves before they come. You can't fix you. You can have a heart to want to be fixed. But can I tell you, it's Jesus that doesn't fix it.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell somebody again? It was the blood that Jesus shed for you. It's the fixing agent. So if you're in this body today and you need Jesus, as we stand to our feet, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister. He will give you brand new life and life abundantly. Oh, why don't you come? Come on. Come to God. As we sing this song, if there be one in the house and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the doors are open right now. Why don't you come? He's standing by, standing, stretched right, waiting on you to come to receive him into your life. Why don't you? Come on, come on. Somebody's thinking about it. The day that you hear my voice, somebody's calling out to me. We offer